409 in our, has to be our hymn books, 409, as a volunteer. Praise God. We've been talking about the call of God. If you haven't gotten that paper entitled God's Call by Mrs. Robinson, please let me know if you're interested. It's certainly worth taking home, tucking into your Bible. But let's sing number 409 together. A call. Lord, we thank you that you don't force yourself on every one of us. Oh, you send your Holy Spirit to tug upon our hearts. You work in the circumstances of our life to get our attention. You sprinkle our lives with tokens of your love. But Lord, the choice is ours as to whether we're going to embrace you and your way of salvation, or whether we're going to continue in our own will and way. Lord, you don't want to force yourself. You want to win us. And Lord, who wouldn't want to love Jesus with all their heart and serve him with all that is in them once you open our eyes to see you as you really are? Lord, we pray that you'll find many volunteers this morning, people that give themselves willingly and wholeheartedly to the service of the King, no matter what the cost. Jesus, we know that everything, anything worth anything, is worth paying a price for. And Lord, we pray that you'll Just help us to be faithful and pay the price, the cost, whatever it may be, so that we might win Christ and have him in all his glory. Thank you for what you're doing for us in these days, Lord. We think of today and then leaving tomorrow, many of us. And Lord, our hearts are still hungry. We want you to know that. Our hearts are still open. We're still listening, Lord. Our ears are attentive to you. Lord, we're still ready to respond to your call, however it comes into our lives. We just want to be at your disposal, Jesus. Have your way in these meetings and in all of our time together on these grounds yet. Lord, finish up. Let your heart be satisfied when we leave this place, knowing that you accomplished what you brought us here to work in our lives. Lord, we want to be satisfied. We want to know that we've met the Lord, that we're changed, that we go home different people. But what about you, Lord? You want to be satisfied. And we want you to be satisfied. And so put faith into our hearts for what you want, Lord. And then get it done. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing also the song Close to Thee. Praise God. That's number 348. There it talks about, gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee. Praise God. We'll talk about some of those things, Lord willing, this morning.
life starts with a prayer, doesn't it? That's why I was so glad to hear Abby say, I'm praying, beginning to pray, Lord, whatever you want to change in my life and my plans, do it. Every great work of God starts with a prayer. I hope the Lord's got you praying since you've been at camp about some new things. Things that you hadn't thought to pray about or hadn't dared to pray about.
Hallelujah.
Though none go with me, still I will follow.
I was talking to some young person not too long ago, and they were telling me that they feel so alone sometimes in their Christian walk that they have trouble finding other young people that have the same understanding, same desire. They have friends that love the Lord, but they just don't seem to connect with them on that spiritual level as they would like to. And there are some that they feel that way with, and others not. And I remember what was told me, and I guess it's good advice to pass on to others, that we have to learn to walk alone with Jesus as Christians. We can understand that as far as the world is concerned. The world's not going to follow in the ways of God. They're not going to value the things we value. They're not going to live the lifestyle that God has called us to live. We don't expect them to. Don't expect the world to live like Christians. It'll never work. But even among Christians, you know, God's call is so personal. And God deals with us at different times about different things. And God gets different response out of people's hearts. Some say yes, and some say, I'll think about it, and some say no. And so you have to just walk alone with God. You have to follow the path that God calls you to. And if there are others that understand that and can encourage you in that, thank God for them. But there may be times when you just have to walk alone. No one will really understand. Fellow Christians won't see it that way. They'll tell you there's nothing wrong with that. They'll try to encourage you to get interested in other things and so on. And that's where we have to make our choice and say, Lord, I've decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow by your grace. And that's good for us. It's good for us to walk alone with God. And God, that's very precious to the Lord when he finds someone that will choose him over their own way, over others, and say, Lord, okay, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to live the way you want me to live. I'm going to seek your approval. I'm going to be satisfied if I feel your smile upon my feeble efforts. And that'll be enough for me. And so we follow. And God, in his goodness and mercy, often leads us then to people that understand perfectly and have also had to walk alone with God at times. And they can sort of refresh you and encourage you, and you can enjoy deeper fellowship with them. And if you'll follow God like that, God will use your life to speak to others as well. They'll see among the young people one young person that's really reaching out to God, that they dare to praise him when no one else is and lift their hands, and they dare to get up and go to the altar. They don't wait to see what everybody else is doing. When I was in Ridgewood, I used to have youth group, and I used to call the young people and say, you know, we have youth group this night, you're going to come. Well, who's going to be there? And I said, well, I don't know. I'm not there yet. I'm still making my phone calls. And then I'll call someone else. Well, who's going to be there? And it all depended on who was going to be there. I told them, I think Jesus will be there. I hope so. That good enough? You need Charlie too? Jesus and Charlie? You know, and I understand that young people love to be together with young people, and that's why we get together. I hope you had a good time at the fire last night. You know, we can't let our Christian life depend on who's going to be there and who else is doing it. And I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be different. I want to fit in. Because when you fit in with the crowd, it always holds you back. It always hinders the work of God in your life. You have to make a choice. Do I want the favor of my friends, or do I want the favor of God? I told you that years ago when I was a guest here at camp in my hippie days. I had friends with me, good friends. They loved the Lord. They came to camp. They loved camp. We had a great time. But after meeting, Brother Gardner would say, "Now, God has really met us. Why don't you go to your room? Don't lose that touch of God on your soul. God will work with you, in you, through the night." And I knew God had met me in the meeting, and I didn't want to lose that. My friends wanted to go to Scroon Lake to the pizza place, and they invited me to come. I think I went once, and I thought, never again. I gave up God's blessing for pizza, and the pizza wasn't all that good anyway. And so the next day when they wanted to go to pizza, I said, "You guys go, have a great time. I'm kind of tired. I think I'm going to go to bed." And I guess I was kind of tired, but really, I just wanted to go to bed and let Jesus tuck me in and just keep that sweet touch of Jesus on my heart. I've never regretted making those choices. I still have friends. Some of those same people, as a matter of fact, I still see. And yes, we do have pizza together. At the right time and at the right place. New York City. But you know what I mean, young people? You've got your own walk with God. Not even every Christian will see it exactly the way you do. God will not be dealing with them exactly the same way he deals with you. That's the way it is even with brothers and sisters that grow up in the same Christian home. We have our own walk with God. God will talk to me about the things I need to hear as I need to hear them. And he'll talk to my brother or my sister about what they need to hear when they need to hear it. And so we need to be willing to walk alone with God. And if we're not, then our walk won't be as glorious as it could be. Sometimes there's a path that doesn't, it's so narrow that the only ones that can walk on it, I don't know whether to say is or are, so you fill in the blank, Jesus and you. Only ones that can walk on that path. And sometimes that's for a season, and then God brings others into our lives that are a blessing to us. But we have to be willing to do that throughout our Christian life. And there was a tract that was very popular in our fellowship, I guess others in others as well, called Others May, You Cannot. If you can get hold of that, I would recommend it. The Lord speaking to his child says, there'll be times when I am dealing with you about something and things will be okay for others, but not for you. I have something in mind for you, and you can't go with the crowd. But you have to follow my voice. And so I thought of some of these things as we were singing these songs. And I thought that'd be a good thing to let the young people know, and maybe that's good for all of us, to walk alone. And so I told this young person, I said, you know, there are times in our Christian life when we have to walk alone with God. Keep loving all your friends and enjoy them as much as you can, but don't let anyone or anything hold you back from doing and living as Jesus calls you to live. You'll never regret that. You know, we're so concerned about pleasing our friends, and then we find out 5 years from now, we don't even know where they are, except for Facebook, right? But they're not in our lives anymore. When I was in high school, I was so concerned about what my friends thought. I don't see anyone from high school. I don't know whether they're alive or I don't know where they are. I haven't run into them for years. They should determine the course of my life. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. But Jesus, he's my companion for life. Time and eternity. And so Jesus, grant us that grace to walk alone with you, Lord, we pray. Yes. Perhaps there are young people here, older ones as well, and we've been a little confused. How come I don't feel comfortable with this? How come God is working this way in my life and I don't see others responding in exactly the same way? How come I'm the only one that goes to prayer meeting? How come I'm the only one that worships the Lord and lifts my hands in meeting and gets to the altar? Well, Lord, don't let me fold my wings and settle down with everybody else. But Lord, help me to cherish the work of God in my heart and to honor you by following step by step wherever you may lead. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
All the way, my Savior leads me. What a love as he saw.
Let me
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank God for those that have, all of you that are serving God here, and some of you, as we heard, are returning. But we really appreciate it. It's been such a joy. It's always a joy to behold the staff, and they're just so. It's just such a blessing to us. So many people say that the people on the staff have been such a blessing. That is part of the blessing of camp, when you are surrounded by people that love Jesus and are so kind and helpful and cheerful, and even as they seek the Lord, it's such a blessing and inspiration to you. And so thank you for your service. I know you're not doing it for me. It's for the Lord, but we're appreciating it, and that's why I give thanks to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray that you'll bless our staff. We thank you for each and every one of them. Lord, maybe them have had real struggles, as we've heard, while they've been here. And Lord, we know we're all human, and there's these little conflicts and rubs and misunderstandings that occur. But Jesus, as we all draw close to you, somehow you bring us closer to one another. You give us a forgiving spirit. You make us tender-hearted. You fill us with your compassion. And Lord, you unite us. It's the glory of God that unites us. And when we come into the presence of God and get filled with his glory, there's a oneness there that the world could never bring about, no matter how many marches and how many protests and how many ways they try to bring people together. It is nothing that can compare with that unity in the body of Christ. And so we thank you. Thank you for the lessons that we learn, not just from the pulpit, but Lord, in the kitchen, and as we're working on the grounds and down in the boathouse and so on, as we interact. Lord, we learn. You speak to us. You use us to sharpen each other and encourage one another. And so again, thank you for the staff, and we pray that a refreshing will come into their hearts today that will enable them to finish well their service to you and to your people. And Lord, you reward them as only you can. I mean, like, what's 14 tickets? That doesn't do it. But the blessing of Jesus, the work that he does in our soul, that we take home with us, Lord, that's an exceeding great reward. And so we pray that you'll grant that to everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.